Just living by faith today. And it sounds real simple, but it's not real simple. In order to really live by faith, you've got to put your total trust in somebody other than yourself. That's not always easy to do. So we're going to stand right now and honor God as we start in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. In my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented by doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of myself is revealed. Oh, that's not quite right, is it? The righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. When you get home today, I just want to give you a little encouragement. Read that section to yourself and see how many times the word you is in that. I think it'll amaze you. It's in the dozen times. You. God's message to you and to me and to every Christian is that the just shall live by faith and faith alone. Father, bless us today as we open your word and we look at this section of scripture. Father, fill us with the wonder and the blessing that we're saved by faith and by faith alone. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just give you a basic outline of what we're going to cover today. Six different things about faith, and I just want to kind of review it real quickly with you. Faith determines what God can do in your life. Your faith can solve impossible problems that are in your life. Your faith is the key to answered prayer. Your faith is the secret to great achievements for your God. Your faith is the basis for having the Lord do miracles in your life and through your life. And your faith produces success in living. Faith is to the Christian life what gasoline is to your car. And I know we have EVs today, but they run out of gas too. There has to be something to empower us. And when we're the main power in our lives, guess what? It doesn't go very far. We just don't have the energy we need to live this life successfully. Hopefully, as we learn about faith and review the scriptures teaching on faith, we'll grow in our faith so that we can grow in the power of God. Not our own power, not our own wisdom, not our own resources, but the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the resources of God to live this life successfully. Some people say, I don't have any faith. Well, let me tell you, everybody has faith. If you believe that everything happened from nothing, and that there is no God, do you know that's a faith? We met a man yesterday as Dave and I were calling. Went to the door and handed him our little paper that we pass out that tells about our church, and on the back side it tells how to go to heaven. Dave said, are you going to heaven? He said, well, I don't know. He says, I'm an atheist. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Guess what? If you don't have the proper faith, you can have all the faith in the world. You can believe in a big boom if you want to. You can believe everything came from nothing because that's what they teach in the science classes in our high schools today. It all started with nothing. And then nothing exploded. How does nothing explode? How does it do that? It can't do that. Folks, they have greater faith in some ways than we do. It's simply that we have faith that there is a God who's all-knowing, who's all-powerful, who is love, who cares about us. And so everybody has faith. It's just faith in what or faith in who. As Christians, we have a living faith because our God is alive. It's not just a vast universe with no purpose, no reason. God gives us the reason. He tells us if we'll trust his word and trust in him, we'll have meaningful lives. Today, teenagers across our country are committing suicide. Army veterans, Marines, Air Force, Navy are committing suicide. Why? Because they believe there's no purpose. Why should I go on suffering in this world when all I have to do is and it's over? If there is no God, why not? Why go through suffering? But if there is a God and your life can make a difference in other people's lives, and your life can be used of God to greatly bless others, man, there's purpose. Even when I'm in pain, I have purpose. It doesn't matter. When I know I'm going to die, that doesn't matter either, because I've got a purpose for living. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. Paul says there's all kinds of different views out there, all kinds of different thoughts. What makes you think yours is better than another? Why are you not ashamed of the gospel? Because we believe with all our hearts the gospel is the truth. Jesus Christ is God. God loves me, and God loved me enough to die for me on the cross. That means I've got a purpose. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. What a tremendous key that we have. We know, according to the word of God, that our faith makes all the difference. It's who we place our faith in and what we place our faith in that makes a difference in how we live our lives. Some people hear my Sunday school message this morning, the memory verse for it was Revelations 2:19. It says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I want to tell you, that inspired me because I started looking at Revelations 2 and 3. In Revelations chapter 2 and Revelations chapter 3, every single church, he wrote to seven churches. Every church he wrote to, those exact words are at the end of each one of those presentations to each church. The Lord told the churches what's right in you and what's wrong in you. And I mentioned in Sunday school, I'm going to make a message on that. If God repeats the same exact words seven times in two chapters, there's got to be some power there. So we're going to dig it out. At any event, the Lord says some people have ears, but they don't hear. Do you know the natural man, and we're going to hit this verse in just a second, but the natural person can't hear God? It's only when God enlightens you that you can really hear what God's saying. It says in Matthew 13, verse 13, Jesus said, that is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. There are those who have ears, but they do not hear. When Dave and I present the gospel, and we talked to probably 30 people this last Saturday, some people can hear. Some people understand exactly what we say. And they don't go to our church. They don't even go to a Baptist church, but they're saved people. And when you talk to them about God, they know what you're talking about. They understand. Other people, you can tell them the gospel as clear as you can possibly say it, and they don't get it one bit. What's the difference? Those who live by faith, God opens your heart to the truth. Those who live by anything except faith in Christ not only don't know, but can't know until the Lord opens the heart. And John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me unless the Father which sent me calls them." And so it's not even us that comes to God. It's God that draws us into that communion. Faith is a gift of God. It's not something you can work up. It's not something you can try harder. You have to come when God calls. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "The person without the Spirit," and that's capitalized, "does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." You didn't figure out the gospel by being smarter than somebody else. The Holy Spirit enlightened you, or you and I would not have understood. It's not of us. There are people who've been under the teaching and preaching of God's word for years, but their back is like a duck's back. Do you know what water does when it hits a duck's back? It runs right off. It doesn't soak in. It runs right off. These people cannot hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many people have made up their mind that God's word is not the truth. If somebody really believes that, only the Holy Spirit can make the difference. You can preach all day long. It's not going to matter. The word faith, or the word believed, is used in the New Testament 485 times. It's a pretty important couple of words, because everything in the Christian walk is based on faith. And so we need to look at this. Number one, faith determines what God will do in your life and my life. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "Jesus went on from there. Two blind men followed him, calling out, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.' When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, 'Do you believe that I'm able to do this?' 'Yes, Lord,' they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, 'According to your faith, let it be done to you.' And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, 'See that no one knows about this.' But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region." So why did Jesus say, "Don't tell anybody"? Because he knew their response. They were like children at Christmas time. They were so excited to have their sight, they couldn't help telling people. Folks, when the Lord touches us, when we by faith receive a miracle from God, we can't help telling people. When I got saved and I really understood that I received Christ as my Savior, I couldn't stop telling people. It was just the most exciting thing that could possibly happen. These two men confessed a couple things. Number one, they confessed that Jesus was God. And you say, "Well, how'd they do that?" They said that Son of David, the Son of David. If you go back in your Bible and you look at Isaiah, the Bible says Isaiah was preached every day in the synagogue. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his greatness, of his government and peace, there will be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." When they said, "Son of David," they weren't just talking about any son of David. They were talking about that one that was going to come and be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Those blind men said, yes, Lord, we believe that you can heal. We believe you can do anything. And they got their healing. Folks, it's important. When you come to the Lord in prayer, you must believe that he is able to do anything. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get your healing every time. But if you come with a lack of faith, you say, Lord, I've got this problem. I would like you to take care of it. If he were to say to you, do you believe I can do that? You must not say, well, I'm not sure, Lord. You must have faith. Faith isn't halfway in. Faith is all the way in. It's like a man or woman, they're getting ready. They want to go to Hawaii. They wanted to go to Hawaii all their life, but they're afraid to fly. That's my wife's situation. She would like to go to Hawaii. We've got timeshares. We could go to Hawaii, no problem. But she won't fly. And she's a little bit afraid of the ocean, too. Faith is saying what? I'm afraid to get into that airplane. Faith is saying, even though I have fear, I'm going to get into that airplane. I'm going to sit down in that seat. I'm going to buckle that seat. And I'm going to believe God somehow is going to get me to where I've got to go. I trust the pilot knows what he's doing. I trust the mechanics knew what they were going to do. I believe I'll get there. And so I'm going to sit myself down. Folks, it's a choice. You must believe in order to receive Christ as Savior. You can't put half your faith in. You can't say, well, I'm going to trust in God and I'm going to trust in my good works too. I'm going to trust in the Lord's salvation, but I'm also going to trust in my baptism. You can't do that. It's either all in or nothing in. Faith demands 100% commitment. God asked a question of us in Jeremiah 32:27. I am the Lord God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? I hope your answer is no in your heart. I don't tell you that because you believe God's going to heal you from cancer, he's absolutely going to do that, because that may not be his will. But I do want to tell you, you need to believe that he will, that he could, if he chose to, or your prayers are going to go against a stone wall and they're not going to be answered. When we pray in faith, I'm in all the way. Lord, I don't know if you're going to heal me of cancer or not, but I know you can. I don't know if you're going to restore my sight or not, but I believe you can. That's faith. And the Lord wants us to walk by faith. I want to give you an example of a lack of faith. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what a lack of faith can cost in your life as well. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. What are we talking about? We're talking about the children of Israel. They had come out of Egypt. They were going to the promised land. They got right to the border of the promised land. They had just come through the Red Sea. The Red Sea opened wide up. They go over on dry ground. Folks, that's impossible. They've been fed for a whole year already with manna from heaven. That's impossible. They had water in the desert for almost 2 million people for almost a whole year. That's impossible. And now they're told, here it is, the promised land, just go ahead and go in. And so they sent some spies to check out the land. And there were giants in the land. And the cities had huge walls. And they said, we can't. God said, you can. But they said, we can't. Do you know what the end result of that was? They would have been 1 year in the wilderness and into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, but not one person in that generation went into the promised land. Every person over the age of 20 died in that wilderness before they went in. They said, God and Moses have brought us out here to die in the desert. No, he didn't. He brought you out there to go through it, to go into the promised land. But when you say we can't, and God says you can, I've had so many people tell me, since I've been a Christian, I think 54 years now, anyhow, You can't know that you're going to heaven. 1 John 5:13 says what? It says, these things that are written to those of you that believe, faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life. If God says you can, and mankind says you can't, who are you going to trust? There are whole churches, whole denominations that say you can't know. God says you can. I'm going to trust God. You can trust your denomination if you want to, but God says you can know right now. So, do you know in the Bible there are over 7,000 promises? Do you know that every one of those promises, you can only claim them by faith? They're not yours until you open your heart to them and say, Lord, I believe. The one man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me over this hurdle of faith. In 2 Peter 1:3, one of the most wonderful promises, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Now, we're already escaping a lot of it. I'm a lot more like God than I was prior to salvation. And I'm growing in that every year, but I'm not going to be exactly like God until when? Till I get home to heaven. And then I'm going to be exactly like my God. I'm not going to be a creator of the next universe, but I'm going to think exactly like God thinks. It's a wonderful thing, but all the promises in God's Word, the 7,000 plus, are all given to you and me, and all we have to do is believe them, and we're going to become more and more like our God right now. And one day, we're going to be exactly like our God. And that's the secret, according to the Scriptures. Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Your faith in God. Our faith can solve impossible problems. Jesus gave an illustration of that in Matthew 17. And we read it, and sometimes in our lives we have mountains of fear. We have mountains of confusion. We have mountains of pain sometimes. Brother Dave's going through the same thing I went through for years in the shop. I was machine repair, lifting heavy all the time, and my back, I just had constant trouble with it all the time. It's extremely excruciating. He gives us a promise here in Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. The disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out, talking about a demon? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Folks, faith, small faith even, will move mountains in your life. But it has to be faith that's 100% in the Word of God. It's so important we have that. Other people are dependent upon your faith, believe it or not. When you have children, those children are very dependent upon your faith to be produced in their lives. In Matthew 17, verse 20, here's the reply Jesus gave to the disciples why they couldn't drive this demon out. He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Jesus said that just after he had come down off the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples had seen Christ in his glory, and still they lacked faith to do what God wanted them to do. If you're dealing with a difficult case in your life, here's a promise for you found in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Our faith is a key to answered prayer in our lives. Many people pray, but they don't pray in faith. They don't believe God is able. We just read, I'm the Lord God of all flesh. Is anything impossible for me? And the only answer is no, nothing. If he could create this whole universe in 7 days, he could create everything there is. Is anything impossible? Not in the least. In Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree. Jesus saw a fig tree that was had leaves and it should have had fruit, but it didn't. And Jesus cursed the fig tree and it withered from the roots up in one day. Boom, done. He says, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. That's quite a promise. That's beyond where I'm at, but I'm getting there. And I want to encourage you to keep growing. What a promise it is when he said in verse 21 again, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it will be done. James 1:5 tells us our faith has to be 100%. You don't want to waver back and forth. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Folks, this is a hard thing to get down, but we must come to that point where we stop doubting God's word. If you find a promise in God's word, put 100% faith in it. Don't go in 50%. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. No. Lord, I believe you're going to do this, and so I'm going to do that. Move out in faith. So many people don't do this. Again, Jeremiah 32, verse 27. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? The answer again, no, absolutely nothing is too hard for our God. When you have that kind of faith, you're going to solve problems in your life you never thought would be solved. God is there. He's real. He cares about you. He cares about your problems. He's simply waiting for you to say, okay, Lord, I believe what you said, and now I'm going to put 100% trust in it. Jesus says, pray and believe, and you'll receive. The world says, fret and doubt. And what's the result? You go without. You get to choose. Are you going to listen to the world and their doubts? Or are you going to say, I'm just about sick of doubting and fretting and going without. I would like to see God do something great in my life, in the life of my children. When you pray for your children, we prayed for one of our sons that was into drugs and all kinds of stuff for about 13 years. But we prayed in faith. God, do something. And God did something. He didn't do it the way we figured. We figured God was going to do a miracle and do something really different. But God did it in a way we would have never thought was possible. God had my son get a gal pregnant, and a little baby girl was born to him. And that little baby girl, the mother couldn't take care of him because she was high on drugs all the time. My son couldn't take care of her because he was high on drugs all the time. But he made a decision. Lord, I'm coming back. I'm going to take care of this little baby girl. Who would think that would be the way? But when you pray in faith and don't give up, God will answer prayer. Folks, it's wonderful when he does. Our faith is a secret to great achievements for our God. When I got saved, the last thing on my mind was being a pastor. I would have never dreamed in my lifetime. But God began to move me. And I began to obey him just in little things. We started out in the TOTS program because we had little ones about the age of Paul and others' ages. But I want to tell you, faithfulness in that little. God says you're faithful in the little, he'll do what? He'll make you ruler over much. We went from that to the nursery, went from that to teaching Sunday school, went from that to a youth group, we went from that to Awana, and then I went from that to being a pastor. It's amazing. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can, Jesus said, everything's possible to one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. This dad had a little boy that was demon-possessed. He came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you can do anything. And Jesus said, if? Come on. I can do anything. But it depends upon your faith. And the man said, Lord, I do believe, but help my... Have you been there? Boy, I've been there so many times. Lord, I do believe, but I got this little doubt that you're gonna. Folks, when we deal with that, that's when the action starts. That's when God really goes to work. This child of mine is 100% in. They're done doubting. They're done fighting against it. They're believing. And your belief will move mountains in your life. It's hard to believe, and it's hard to commit yourself to a course of action. Like I mentioned, getting on that plane in the midst of your fear. All these different tests that come in life, we all go through our times of testing. It's all just a test to see if you'll trust God. And when you put your faith 100% in God, you pass the test. You don't have to keep going around the mountain. You pass the test, you're ready to go. When we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, you have to go 100% in. You can't say, I think Jesus could save me. You have to determine. God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. I'm done doubting. I'm in. Our faith is the basis for seeing God's miracles in our lives. And when we talk about miracles, sometimes we talk about things that really aren't miracles, and we call them miracles. Miracles is when God does something contrary to nature. God created nature, and there are certain laws in nature that are always the same, unless, of course, the God who created those laws changes the laws. When the Sea of Galilee opened, think of the faith it took for Moses and those people. There's mountains on two sides. The Egyptian army is coming from the other way, and before them is the sea, the Red Sea. And God says to Moses, move out. Move out where? The army's coming, there's mountains both sides, and there's the sea. God says, move out and see God do a work. What would have happened if Moses would have doubted and said, well, there's no place to go? Moses moved. And when he moved, when the feet of the priest hit that sea, it opened. But it's not until we move. It's not until you in your heart make up your mind that God has said he will do something very specific if I will move. Faith is an action. Believing is an action. It's not just a oozy-goozy thing. It's moving out and saying, I believe what God has said. I'm going to do what he told me I must do to get the results that he promised. I can't tell you how many people I know that really believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They really believe that his blood will wash away their sin if they'll just call on his name. But for some reason, they won't call on his name. What's the problem? The problem is faith. Now, part of the problem is their sinful nature. They don't want to give up things. Obviously, if you're going to follow Christ, you can't follow the ways you used to go. But it's a lack of faith. Will God give me something better than what I'm after now? You see, God promises that he'll meet all of our needs in Christ Jesus. But will he meet my sinful needs? No, he won't meet those. He'll take those away. It's a wonderful thing. He'll take away those wicked desires that are killing you and killing your family. He'll replace them with wholesome things that'll bless you. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son." Do you know that's one of the most wonderful promises God has ever made? "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Folks, that's an outlandish promise. God is saying that we, his body, the church, are going to do greater works than he ever did. Now, I haven't seen any of us raise the dead. I haven't seen any of us heal people. Now, I've seen people go up and supposedly got a healing. I used to go to a church over on Swine Creek Road, and a little old man would waddle up to the front. He'd say, this is on radio, "I praise God for my healing. It's just wonderful." And then he'd go back. And the next week I'd go back to that church and the same thing over and over and over and over. Folks, that's not healing. That's faith, and that's good. I'm glad he has the faith. But true healing, true miracles are when something really radical happens. And what God wants you to know is that the church today, and the church all through the history of the church, has done greater things than Jesus Christ did when he was on this earth. And you say, well, how? Well, I'll just give you one example. My son Joel and Tina went up to Fairbanks, Alaska this last week. And when they went to the store, they thought they were going to a regular store. But they walked in, and it was a Salvation Army store. And up there, they were had enough food to feed 5,000 people every week. They kept bringing in food after food after food. Jesus fed 5,000, but he was in one place. Jesus, when he took on a body, could only be one place at a time. And so when he fed the 5,000 here, he couldn't be over there feeding 5,000 more. We talked about the Salvation Army up in Alaska, but in Saginaw today, tonight, tomorrow, next week, the rescue mission is going to be housing about 240 people every night, feeding those people, caring for those people, meeting their needs. In Flint, there's another rescue mission. You go to Grand Rapids, there's another rescue mission. You look around the world, how much the world is doing for Christ and his glory. You just look at the shoeboxes that we sent out. Our church isn't the only one doing that. There are millions of shoeboxes going out. And so the church today is doing more for people than Christ ever did when he was on this earth. It's a wonderful thing when you trust God, how he'll use you and multiply the things that you do. It's going on today. It seems like an outlandish promise, but the church truly is doing greater works than Jesus Christ did while he was here. We're feeding more people, we're meeting more needs, we're blessing more lives. The gospel's going around the world. Jesus didn't take the gospel around the world. His people did in the church through the Spirit's power. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go to the Father, because when I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to fill you, and you're going to do greater works than I did. Not individually, but as a unit. The church is so important. In fact, the church in the Bible is called the pillar and foundation of the truth. Because for 2,000 years, the church has been teaching the gospel of Christ. Yes, I know we got churches going left and right and all over the place, but many churches are still preaching the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And thousands in Jesus' lifetime, when he was on this earth, there may have been a couple thousand people that believed. How many millions today are trusting Christ? And it's through the church. It's because he went and sent the Holy Spirit. It's because you had faith in Christ enough to believe, and you are spreading the word. It's a wonderful promise. The last one, our faith produces fruit in this life. we have successful living in this life, our life makes a difference because we believe. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You and I are overcoming the world now, and we are going to completely overcome the world when we pass this life. This world and its ways are passing away. We're not. We're going on eternally. In the book of Hebrews, and I'm not going to take time to read the verses right now because I see I've stretched it a little bit, but I just want to talk about three different people that did great things for God. Enoch believed God, and the Bible says because they believed not, he was not. Enoch is the first man God translated off this earth without ever dying, and he's with God. Noah built an ark by faith. They tell us it never rained on the earth prior to the time of Noah. Noah builds an ark big enough to get all the animals on and his whole family on, and plenty of room besides, because he believed God when God said, it's going to rain, buddy. It's going to flood the whole earth. And Noah saved his family and all the animals by getting on the ark. Abraham left his hometown. He had a nice town that he lived in. It was a prosperous town. He went off into the wilderness following God, and he didn't even know where he was going because God promised him he was going to bless him. Folks, those are examples of faith. Our God wants us to know that he's doing great works in lives, lives just like yours. You can be the one instrumental in your family to lead your children and your grandchildren to faith in Christ. Don't think your life's over just because you're getting older. You've got years of wisdom. Use those to bless the next generation. Let God use what you've learned all these years. We're not done. We're still serving. We still have the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to live by faith. Faith in his word and faith in him. Because faith is the victory.